Welcome on back, BetMGM tonight. Here on Westwood One Sports, I'm Pat Boyle, filling in for Brad Evans. Tonight is Cordell Woodland, and we are brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. Hour number three kicks off right now. You can watch the show live on YouTube. Just search BetMGM Tonight and hit that subscribe button. You can watch the show live on Twitter at BetMGM Tonight, and you can listen to the show on the Westwood One Sports app, the Odyssey app, SiriusXM, Channel 375, and hundreds of local affiliates throughout North America. Our talking text line is 310-840-4910. We're about to go through all the NFL schedules for teams in the AFC North. Who got tough ones? Who got easy ones? What are the big implications of how these team seasons will shake out? You want to weigh in on any of that? 310-840-4910. And Cordell, I figured we'll start with the team that you cover, the Baltimore Ravens, because you cover the Ravens as well as covering the Baltimore Orioles for 105.7 The Fan, and you're the co-host of The Fresh Take on the very same station. So excited to talk some Baltimore Ravens with you. I think they got a very easy start to their schedule. They don't play a team that made the playoffs last year until November. I think we both expect Cincinnati to be in that mix this year. Indianapolis was looking like a playoff team until Daniel Jones went down. They play the Cowboys week three in Brazil. That'll be an exciting and, you know, unpredictable game. But overall, your thoughts on the Ravens' schedule? I think head coach Jesse Minter in year number one should be pretty excited about them getting off to a good start.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely don't have the brutal start to their schedule the way they did last year. Remember last year, they opened up the season in Buffalo. I think week three, they had to go to Kansas City. And then right after that, they're hosting the Detroit Lions at home as well. And at that time, the Ravens were ravaged with injuries and quite frankly, just weren't playing really well. So they kind of got a late start on their season, and it ended up leading to them missing the postseason. One of many things that contributed to them missing the postseason last year. But yeah, you look at the schedule and starting off in Indy could be tricky. Probably not though. I mean, I don't know what Daniel Jones' status will be going into that game. I would imagine that it's a chance that he doesn't play. And if you're getting Anthony Richardson, you're probably licking your chops if you're Jesse Minter. And it's you're ready to get this Ravens defense on the field. Now, you also got to remember they've got Jonathan Taylor in that backfield, who for the first quarter to first half of the season last year looked like an MVP candidate. Alec Pierce is coming off a great year. They got Warren at tight end. So they've got some pieces and a pretty decent defense as well. But that's not one that really scares you. Like you said, the Cowboys one week three jumps out at me just because I think that'll be the first real test for this defense. And a lot of questions about this Ravens defense, a lot of optimism, but still questions. So I think that'll be a real test going up against that Dallas Cowboys offense and a pretty decent defense that the Cowboys will be putting out there as well. Remember, they got Caleb Downs in this past draft in the first round. And in my opinion, he could very well be the best player in that class. So that's a little tricky. I do look at this stretch in the middle portion of the season where, and look, the Browns are the Browns, but going to Cleveland has always kind of been a house of horrors for the Ravens. They may get the win out there, but they do not play well in Cleveland. They get it despite the way that they look in those games. So I'm looking at going to Cleveland, then back home for the Bengals. Back-to-back division games are always going to be tough. Then to Buffalo, which has also been a house of horrors for them here recently. And then hosting the Jaguars, which was a playoff team last year. Hosting the Chargers on Monday Night Football. Jesse Minter going up against his old team. Even going to Carolina could be a little tricky. That Panthers team got better as the year went on. They made the postseason, and they were pretty tough at home last year. And, oh, yeah, then you got to go to Houston and play arguably the best defense in the NFL. So I think that stretch there could be a little tricky for them. And also, when I look at the last four games of the season, the Ravens do have a week 13 bye. I think that'll serve them well. They did pretty good the last time they had a late season bye. But I look at the last four games of the season, all division games, including two games against Pittsburgh, including week 18 against Pittsburgh at home, which is a TBD game. That could very well be for the division again this year. You never know with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody wants to count them out. We've seen it time and time again. They scratch and claw, and they will at least be in the playoff discussion every year. Now, Tomlin's gone. Maybe they finally bought him out. But it's not like McCarthy is a terrible coach, but there are still questions at the quarterback position and on the offensive line and really on that aging defense as well. So I think a lot of it just depends on what type of Ravens team are we going to see this year? Because if it is the Ravens team that everybody picks to be a Super Bowl contender every year, if Lamar Jackson is going to be healthy, if this defense is really going to come back to life, then this schedule may not be a problem for them. I see no reason. Me and my co-host, we ran through the schedule last night. I went 11-6. I said 11-6 for them right now. That's me being humble about them. I'm not going to put on those purple glasses and pick the Ravens to win every game. This is a team that does have some flaws still. They did miss the postseason last year. I got to kind of see. Everybody's expecting Jesse Minner to make this defense elite again. They have pieces. I think they'll be better. I want to see them on the field before I start calling them an elite defense just yet.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, look, you love the trade of the signing of Trey Hendrickson. We know that they were supposed to have Max Crosby. That went sideways. Okay, you get Trey Hendrickson instead. I tell you what, I love the draft. I love that they got Vega Ioane in the first round. That was like, okay, don't overthink it. Best player available, position of need. You got both there. In the middle of the first round. And I love that they got Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt to fill out that receiving core. It's not going to just all be on Zay Flowers, right? Rashad Bateman had a down year last year. You hope he bounces back, but if not, it's not just going to all be on Zay Flowers. I don't know what to expect for Mark Andrews at this stage in his career, and you don't have Isaiah Likely there as that backup option anyway. But again, you mentioned it, a couple of what ifs that just, like, it's going to shape the way the Ravens season goes. If Lamar Jackson is able to stay healthy, this team's a playoff team. Like, I just don't see them not making the playoffs if you tell me Lamar plays at least 15 games. And you mentioned what has killed them the last couple of years, the slow starts. One, is that a byproduct of John Harbaugh? Who knows? Jesse Minter is going to have this team ready, but you do have the most favorable part of your schedule in the first 7 weeks. You know, again, that Brazil trip is weird because it's not even like a standalone game. That's a 4:25 p.m. Eastern Sunday in week three. And then you come right back and play at home at 1 o'clock Eastern the next week at home against the Titans. So it's not, you're not flying over the pond to Europe and not as much jet lag. I think a flight to Rio is maybe from Baltimore is maybe what, 4 or 5 hours at most. So it's a little bit shorter than going across to Europe. So again, not surprised that there's not a bye week after that. Late bye week for the Ravens. So hopefully they can stay healthy until then. And then after the bye week, we're going to see what that division looks like. You mentioned you play Pittsburgh twice in the final 4 weeks. No matter how good or bad you think the Steelers are, it ended up coming down to the division last year, and the Ravens missed the field goal, and we know how that ended, man. But I think there's no reason this team should be anything worse than 5-1, 4-2 at the absolute worst after the first 6 weeks of the season. And that should give you enough runway to get going and build some rhythm and get some momentum going after that for those two tough matchups. Really, four tough matchups in a row. Bengals, Bills, Jags, Chargers. But you got to get off to a good start this year for the Ravens. If they're going into that game against Cincinnati in week 7 and they're 3-3 or 2-4, I mean, then we're having a much different conversation. I just don't see it happening because I still think they are too good.
Yeah, I agree. I think if they're going to be healthy, the Ravens on paper at least have the best roster in the division. Now, Cincinnati did really use this offseason to address their defense. It's not perfect, but they did kind of build it up in terms of personnel. That coaching staff knows that they're on their last leg right now. It's kind of make something happen this year or they're gone. Everybody else in the division moved on from their head coach except the Cincinnati Bengals. So a lot of what ifs with the Bengals. Everybody every year, that's another team that people think is going to be in the running, and they have been a real disappointment here over the last few years. They've got to prove to me that they can win some games before I start putting some stock into the Bengals. A, stay healthy, Joe Burrow, I'm looking at you, and B, show that they can stop somebody on the defensive side of the ball. The Browns are probably going to be the Browns, and God bless them. I love Todd Monken. I think Baltimore is going to miss him But they are still the Browns right now. It really, in my mind, is going to come down to Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh in this division. And I see no reason why, like you said, if the Ravens are healthy for the most part, that they shouldn't win this division.
Yeah, and Cincinnati, they got a gift. I think Cincinnati got a gift of a schedule. Now, it's in terms of opponents' records from last year combined, they have the third easiest schedule. We know that that's not always everything, but the way that their schedule lines up and the intricacies of the schedule, I think if Cincinnati misses the playoffs this year, I said it on my Sports Minute. I briefly talked about it on last night's show. I think everybody should be fired. Zach Taylor, Duke Tobin, the de facto GM, get rid of clean house, get rid of everybody, and relegate them to the UFL. Like, they don't deserve to play in the NFL anymore if the Bengals miss the playoffs again, Cordell. Because not only are the teams on paper from a year ago weak, you know, you look at their schedule. They play at 1 p.m. Eastern every single game through the first 8 weeks of the season. Like, there's something about the rhythm, not having short weeks, not having, you know, play a ton of primetime games, and like that, there's something that is very convenient about that. They play one Monday night game. It's week 11 against the Commanders, and then they come back home on the Sunday the week after that and play at home against New Orleans. So it's not like you're going a short week after playing a Monday night and traveling or playing a tough team on paper. And then the one Thursday night game they have is against your Ravens on New Year's Eve. It's the last Thursday night of the season. And at that point, like, you would hope that Cincinnati's not fighting for their playoff lives, but it's not like you got a Thursday night game in the middle of the season and, you know, you're battling injuries and whatnot. Like, it's the end of the year. They do. The one tough thing they have is the Madrid trip. They go, they play the Falcons in Madrid in week 9, and they don't have a bye week after that. So that is going to be tough. But again, you look at the way they start the season, that's probably their toughest. Tampa Bay, Houston, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville. After that, 3 out of the next 4 weeks, they play the Dolphins, Titans, and the Falcons. That other game is against your Ravens, which will be a tough one. They also play the Saints at home. They play the Colts on the road, and they get to play the Browns twice, as does everybody else in this division. So really, it's a gift for me. In my opinion, it's a gift to the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. He hated playing on Thanksgiving, doesn't have to play on Thanksgiving, barely has to play any short weeks, wanted to play in Spain, and they get to go play in Spain. So they don't have the bye week after that. That's really the toughest part of their schedule, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all boils down to how good will that defense be, because nobody can quibble about the offense. We know the weapons that they have offensively. We know Cincinnati can put points on the scoreboard. Can they stop somebody? That's been the big bugaboo for them over the last few years, for quite some time, to be honest with you. And so when I look at team, it's tough for me. Like, yeah, should they beat a team like the Titans? Absolutely, they should beat the Titans. But would it shock me if that turned into a shootout for whatever reason? Absolutely not, because Cincinnati has had problems getting after the quarterback for quite some time. Now, they did address their defensive line a little bit this offseason. They make the big trade to go get Dexter Lawrence in the middle of that defensive line. We'll see how much of a reward they get out of that. But it's just tough for me to really put a lot of stock into that Bengals team until I see that they're going to make a true commitment to playing on both sides of the ball. Because if you can't stop anybody in this league, you're going to lose. And the Bengals are the real example of, you can have the best offense in the league, if you can't play defense, you won't win in this league. And then also, again, can Joe Burrow stay healthy? Because everybody talks about all these other quarterbacks every year, in terms of, will they be available? People have labeled Lamar Jackson to be one of these injury-prone quarterbacks. Lamar hasn't had a single surgery in his career to this point. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, has been one of the more unreliable quarterbacks, premier quarterbacks, in this league for quite some time. It's about time he steps up to the plate and is actually available to his team. He's got, I still think, the best 1-2 punch at receiver in the league. Be available for your team and give them the best shot to win this year. That'll get me to put some stock into the Bengals.
It's well said, and that's facts. 3 out of the 6 years of his career, he has missed basically half the season with injuries, and it's, you know, it has sunk them every time. I do love the signing of Boye Mafe. You mentioned the trade for Dexter Lawrence. So yeah, that front seven, it better be much improved Otherwise, Al Golden's going to be getting the boot as well after 2 years as the defensive coordinator there, my guy formerly at Notre Dame. All right, let's move on to the Steelers, and let's take a look at their schedule. Now, they also have a mid-season gauntlet that is going to be really, really tough to cope with, and I think Pittsburgh got a they probably have one of the toughest schedules in the division. You know, they got to play the New England Patriots week two on the road. They get the early week three matchup against Cincinnati. That's, again, a coin flip. Probably the Bengals will probably be favored by over a field goal if they get off to a decent start. But then how about this? Coming off the bye week after week nine, and the Steelers also have a very tough one where they got to go across the pond and play in Paris against the Saints, and then they don't have a bye week after that either. They got to come back the next week and play the Cleveland Browns. Off their bye week, they play Cincinnati on the road, the Eagles on the road, Black Friday game against the Broncos, home against the Texans, at Jacksonville on Monday night, and then home against your Ravens and home against the Panthers. I mean, oh my goodness, man. Outside of Cincinnati, that's playoff team after playoff team after playoff team, with the exception of your Ravens and with Cincinnati, who we both expect to be playoff teams this year, and they're both in the division. So I think Pittsburgh, man, they have to get off to a good start, because from week 10 to week 16, that is a freaking gauntlet. And if Aaron Rodgers and Pittsburgh aren't, I don't know, going into the bye week after eight games at 6-2 or 5-3, there ain't going to be no RELAX to tell everybody. The Steelers, they might be shutting it down early this year, and Rodgers might be heading to an early retirement.
Yeah, I mean, having to play that Eagles defense and that Broncos defense in a five-day span, that's not going to be fun. That's and then right after that, you get the Texans defense on Sunday Night Football, and then the Jaguars defense after that. And if the Ravens defense is anything this year, they're right after that. And
dude, Rodgers would be lucky to make it out in one piece.
Dude, it could be really tough. It could be really tough for them. This is a Pittsburgh team that has struggled to score. Now, again, I've talked about it. I've liked some of the moves that they've made on the offensive side of the ball this year. Still have questions, obviously, at the quarterback position. We have to see what happens there. I still think it'll be Rodgers, but I'm not completely sold on that offensive line, and I'm definitely not sold on that aging and expensive defense that they have as well. So it's a lot of question marks for me with this Pittsburgh team, and looking at this schedule, it doesn't bode well for them. Another reason to count them out, but again, they've been that team that you can't count out, that they just find a way to make it through their schedule and things end up falling their way. They play some of these teams without their best players. Who knows what it is, but they always kind of have a lucky charm in their back pocket or something, to where they're able to steal some games away simply from their style of play. They know how to win ugly, probably better than any other team in the NFL. So we'll see what happens, but no doubt they have a very, very tough stretch in the middle part of their season.
Yep, and then let's finish here with the Cleveland Brownies. You know, like you said, the Browns will be the Browns. I think they'll be the Browns as long as they're employing Deshaun Watson as their quarterback, and especially the first couple of games of their season, they're going to be pretty tough ones. They got to go on the road first two games at Jacksonville, at Tampa Bay. Now, the Bucs defense, if it's the Bucs defense that we saw finish the year last year, that actually might be a big game for Deshaun Watson, because Tampa Bay's defense to finish last season was god-awful. Then they come home and play Carolina. Then they got a short week to play the Steelers in week four. But, you know, again, they finished last place in the division last year. So you're going to face a lot of last place teams from the division last year. They get to play the Jets. They get to play the Titans. They play the Saints. They play the Raiders. They play the Giants. So I know not all of those teams finished in last place, but a good majority of them. And, you know, again, it's going to come down to the quarterback position for me, because we know Cleveland's defense is going to be awesome. And I know that they hired Todd Monken as their head coach. I wanted them to promote Jim Schwartz. So, you know, again, Jim Schwartz resigned, and now it's Mike Rutenberg who is the defensive coordinator. We'll see. We'll see if it was Jim Schwartz is the reason why that defense has been so damn good, or if it's just Myles Garrett. You know, they got the reigning defensive rookie of the year in Carson Schwesinger. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like they're going to get good news on Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, former Notre Dame. You know, again, he's going to miss the entire season after that serious neck injury last October. But they bring in Quincy Williams. We'll see what kind of season Mason Graham can have after a pretty underwhelming rookie year where he only had half of a sack and 49 tackles. So can he take a big step up? But, you know, that secondary, it got better as the year went on, and we know their defense is going to keep them in games. What are they getting from Quinshon Judkins in year two? Because he looked awesome as a rookie. Then he got hurt, you know, that gruesome-looking ankle injury. Can Jerry Jeudy resurrect that 2024 season that he had where he looked damn good and then he took a step back last year? They got the two rookies in KC Concepcion and Denzel Boston. Harold Fannin coming off a great rookie season, but they have a basically all-new offensive line. And again, Cordell, it's going to come down to what kind of quarterback play you get from Deshaun Watson. And I don't think it's going to be very good. And I think early on in the season, we're going to see the switch to Shedeur Sanders. And we'll see if he can hold on to the starting quarterback position for the rest of the season. But, I mean, 5 wins, just because how easy their schedule is on paper, 5 wins at most for Cleveland again, I think it's going to be another long season.
Most likely it will be a long season. I can't go against that. Again, they're the Browns. Most likely it will be another rough year for them. But and maybe this is me, you know, giving some hope to my guy Todd, but I know for sure he's going to elevate that offense. Todd Monken is a really good offensive mind. He's going to bring some things that offense can use, and they've got some pieces. I like them attacking the wide receiver position in the draft this year, not relying on Jerry Jeudy, understanding that you need to get more bona fide pass catchers in that offense. Harold Fannin had a really good rookie season. Judkins was a beast. We'll see how he looks when he comes back, but he was a stud last year. I think it does, regardless of which quarterback starts the year, whether it's Watson or Shedeur, I think we're going to see both quarterbacks play this year. I just think that's what's going to end up happening. I think the defense will still be the defense. I think, and that's no shot at Jim Schwartz, who is great. Jim Schwartz is a great defensive mind, but I can't ignore that they have great defensive personnel on that side of the ball as well, led by probably the best defensive player in football in Myles Garrett. So when I look at the start of their schedule, there is an opportunity here for the Browns to get off to a solid start and be one of the early season surprises. The Jaguars looked great last year down the stretch. They could be one of those teams that regresses this year. The entire AFC South is a mystery. None of those it's tough. As much as I think highly of the Texans defense, I think the opposite of that offense right now until C.J. Stroud shows me that he has a pulse. I feel that way about the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence was great down the stretch. We'll see, but that defense can stand up against anybody. The Bucs were awful, and I think they're going to take a huge step back this year without Mike Evans. And I think that dealing with what's my guy's name, the running back there that's been dealing with the shoulder issue a little bit. I'm drawing
Dylan Sampson.
No, the other Bucky Irvin. Bucky Irvin was dealing with the shoulder last year for Tampa. Yeah, he and I think he's still dealing with the shoulder. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think the Bucs are taking a step back. The Panthers, we'll see, but that's a beatable team, and the Steelers are going to be beatable, and God knows the Jets are always beatable. So that's 5 games there where they could potentially win at least 3 of them. Like, I wouldn't be shocked. That defense will keep them in the game. It's just, can the offense put up enough points to actually win?
That's a great question. And that is the million-dollar question, right, for the Cleveland Browns every year. All right, 310-840-4910. We got to take a short break. When we come back, we hit the AFC North. We'll hit the NFC North. Is it a gauntlet yet again in the great north of the NFC? He's Cordell Woodland filling in for Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. This is BetMGM Tonight right here on Westwood One Sports.